So good morning. We do have a bit of a different service today. We will be doing some special things later on. And one of the things that we wanted to make very clear, and one of the things Ken talked to us about before we planned today, is that while we want to honor Ken and just appreciate his accomplishment and his time here, we want to make sure that worship and glory goes to the Lord, and Ken wants to be sure of that, and so we will just honor him today, but we also want to just bring glory to the Lord through everything that we're doing. So 20 years is an amazing accomplishment, and you know, there aren't probably very many pastors, lead pastors, that stay in one place for that long, and so the continued impact is just incredible. So we've been going through a multiply series, and we've been looking at Mark chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, where Jesus invited us to be in relationship with him, and then we looked at how through that relationship, if we allow the Lord to, he will transform us, he will change us from the inside out. And today we're going to be looking at how Jesus is making us into fishers of men. He's calling us to be fishers of men. So before we get into that, I just want to brief you on what the service is going to look like a little bit. So myself and Pastor Greg and Pastor Kyle are going to be kind of tag teaming it this morning. So I hope you brought snacks and maybe a pillow, because you got three pastors. I mean, it may be three times as long as normal. Who knows? That's a joke. It's not really going to be that long. So today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 5. So if you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 5, this is a parallel passage to Mark chapter 1 that we've been studying. And we are going to see some interesting things here as Jesus is interacting with some of his disciples, and he calls them to do some hard things, we'll say, and then he blesses that. So as you're turning, Luke chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. It says this, it says, "One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people there were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from the shore. And then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets.'" And so the first thing that we're going to look at here from this passage is what I would call Simon's radical obedience, okay? And we're going to kind of unpack why this was maybe radical, or why this was a big thing for Jesus to ask them to do. But I love this phrase that he answers. He says, "Lord, like, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will." And so we're going to look at that and unpack that a little bit. So these men were fishermen by trade. We'll say this was their industry. This was their source of income. They were commercial fishermen. So if you can follow with me, they were probably pretty good at fishing. More often than not, they probably went out and they had the knowledge, they had the skills, they had the right tools and equipment. You know, they knew the secret spots where they would always catch fish. And if they were going to at least be in business for very long at all, they had to have been catching some fish at some point, right? And so they probably weren't used to going out and being out all night and not catching anything. So here's where we find them, probably frustrated. Man, we did our part. We worked hard. Nothing. We didn't catch a single thing. How many of you guys, just by a show of hands, have ever been fishing? Yeah, most of us. All right. Okay, now, how many of you have ever gone out for any matter of time, a few hours, all day, and you didn't catch a single stinking doggone thing? Yeah, maybe not even a bite, right? That's a frustrating venture, right? When you go out, you take the time, you drive wherever, you put in all the effort and you don't catch any fish, right? Even more so when it's your livelihood, right? And you're depending on this catch of fish to feed your family, literally, like to pay your bills. And so as we consider where these guys are, like, this was a frustrating night. Like, they put in all this work. They were out there. They let their nets down. Nothing. Came up empty. And so spiritually, sometimes in our lives, even as followers of Christ, there may be times where we feel like this. We feel like, okay, like, I'm doing the right things. I'm working hard. I'm being diligent. I'm going out and I'm casting my net. But you know what? I didn't catch anything. And then it's easy to kind of get frustrated and just be like, well, man, I'm just going to give it up. So I kind of think of it this way, because I like to fish, but I actually like to hunt more. I'm more of a hunter than a fisherman. But one of the things that I like to do, I like to bow hunt. And so that takes a lot of time commitment. My wife says, amen, right? So in the fall, the thing that I like to do is I like to plan and scout and figure out the right spot. And I like to sit up in a tree when it's freezing cold, like a crazy person, right? And I put in all this time, and there are some points in the season where if I've gotten to a certain point and I haven't had any success, it's like I'm sitting up in a tree one day at 4 a.m, freezing and shaking and shivering. Why am I doing this? What is wrong with me? Like, I should just sell all my hunting gear and take up golf or something. But then anybody that's played golf with me is like, no, you don't want to do that. That's a bad idea. That will be some broken windows or something. So then I stick it out and I stay hunting. But here these guys are, and Jesus is speaking to them. And it's kind of interesting because this is their trade. This is what they do. They're fishermen. And here's somebody who's not a fisherman who's kind of giving them some fishing advice. Hey, you should just go back out. Just cast your nets again. Obviously, Simon sees something different here about Jesus, that he's not just an ordinary man, because I don't know that any old guy just on the shore could have told Simon to, hey, just go back out. Just go to the deep water and let your nets back down. I think Simon would have been like, yeah, right. But he calls him master, and he says, Master, we have worked hard all night. He's honest. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. So he is obedient. Sometimes it is difficult to follow Christ. Sometimes the Lord will ask you to do hard things that may seem outside of your ability. They may seem outside of your comfort zone, outside of maybe just your willingness to follow. Like, man, that's too much. That's too hard. But I just want us to see what can happen when we are just simply obedient. And so when the Lord calls you to do something, when he says go, you need to be willing to go. There's an element of following Jesus that takes trust, and it takes obedience, and it takes perseverance. This takes, like, stick-to-itiveness. You have to hang in there. And here these guys are. They're willing to persevere. We haven't caught anything all night, but because you say so, we will. I could share with you a lot of different illustrations or stories, examples of this, but one that just comes to my mind that the Lord just reminded me of as I was studying this is that when I was young, I was 21 years old. My wife and I had been married for about 8 months, and the Lord had called me to vocational ministry. And I knew that, but I didn't know where and I didn't know when. And the Lord opened up an opportunity, made it ever so clear that he wanted us to move away to a place that we didn't know anybody. In fact, the place that he was calling us, we literally, before they contacted us, did not know this place existed on the map on earth. We didn't know it was there, but it is. And it's a wonderful place. We loved it. And the Lord took us to Woodward, Oklahoma. And we moved hours away from our safety net of friends and family and people that we knew. And I'm going to tell you, like, there were days where I'm like, what are we doing? Like, we're selling our house and we're moving away from everything we know into the Wild West unknown, right? And I can just tell you, like, without belaboring the point, that God used our time there to do some incredible things in our lives and to grow us and stretch us and challenge us. And more than anything, I think it was a step that the Lord used to say, will you follow me where I send you? Will you be obedient to my call? If I say go, will you go? And I can honestly say that I would not be who I am today. I would not be able to serve in the capacity that I serve today had it not been for me following in obedience. And so what is it that God is calling you to be obedient to? I told first service, I'm not suggesting that everybody move away. that's not my point here. Obviously, if the Lord is calling you to move, then you need to go. But what I'm saying is, like, what kind of radical obedience is God calling you to in your life? What does that look like for you? I want to just finish by saying, again, we're not here to worship a man. We're here to worship the Lord. But I do want to just honor our pastor and just say thank you for being obedient to the Lord. And thank you for 20 years of faithfully serving this church body and many, many more years of faithfully serving the kingdom. And, you know, I guarantee that you've not made every perfect decision. You've not done everything right, but you have been obedient to the Lord's leading. And for that, I just want to say thank you. It's impacted my life and my family's life and countless others. And we're grateful for you and your obedience. So be challenged in your life. When God calls you to go, when God calls you to do something, even if it doesn't make sense, like go back out fishing after you've been fishing all night, go. If the Lord says go, go. We're going to finish by seeing a short video from one of Pastor Ken's sons.
Dad, congrats on 20 years at West. Lacey, Maya, and I are just so thankful for the model you set and just being perseverant in 20 years. I don't think somebody makes it 20 years in the job without perseverance being true, no matter how great their job is. And West has been a phenomenal place for you to be obedient to the Lord's calling in your life. And I think that's what fuels your perseverance is obedience to Christ. So thanks for modeling that for us. For helping us implement that in our lives too, as we seek to be obedient to where God's called us, regardless of how long He calls us to one place. Love you and are grateful for you, Dan.
Love you. Mwah.
Pastor Ken, love you. Crazy thought to me. That God is so merciful that not only He redeems us from the mess that we're in, sinners separated from Him, but that He redeems us for our work. That He would call us to be fishers of people. It's really quite ridiculous, but amazing that God in His mercy would redeem us and redeem us for a work. And I think of this, and I look at this passage, because you say so, I will. Think of Pastor Ken and Kathy. They've modeled this radical obedience. Because you say so, I will. I remember sometime in the last decade, Ken felt God calling us as a church to amp it up, to reach this city by planting churches in a different way. And I remember somebody else on staff going, wow, you don't see old pastors or something like that make this kind of crazy decision when really most would just kind of coast. And Ken's not a coaster because he's just doing what God has called him to do. I think of Kathy, who sometime in the last decade, basically when the nest is getting empty, when most people are settling back, throwing down some bonbons, God called her to reach exploited women in Wichita, to change her trajectory of her life, and to, because you say so, I will. God is at work in Ken and Kathy and through Ken and Kathy. I want you to pick up in the scripture. We'll go back to Luke 5, verse 5, and I just want to read a couple verses. Luke 5, verse 5 says this. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And then verse 6 and 7, the payoff. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled the partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Simon set out, he cast out, he threw the net down, and such a large bounty of fish came up. And I'm reminded through this is that we do our part and we let God do his part. We do our part and we watch God do his part. God is the one that brings the increase. He's the one that brings the harvest. He's the one that brings the fruit. He calls us to simply obey. But he's the one that radically interjects his life and his power and his will through our lives and what we're doing. I think of when kids are young, they go to the back-to-school carnivals. And while they're at the back-to-school carnival or the fall fest or whatever, there's this game here, this little fishing game. And you have this ragtag fishing pole made, and you give it to a 2 or 3 or 5 or 6 or 7-year-old, and you're hoping to Jesus that they don't whack the kid behind them in the face with it. But what happens is that this little kid is fishing, and they don't have really great motor skills. The magnet was rejected. I don't know why it's called a magnet, but it doesn't really attract anything. And so this kid is moving this thing around here, and the whole time the carnival worker or mom or dad or older brother's watching going, "Please today, like, please catch the stinking yellow fish." And so you're waiting and waiting, and that whole time, nothing's happening. But then the love of a mom or a dad sees the kid going, "Please catch that green fish." And they move that green fish because the pole's not going where it's supposed to go. And eventually, they pull it up, and on the bottom of that green fish is a Andy's $20 gift card. And the kid is like, "Whoa! Whoa!" and throws the rod. And quite honestly, the kid had nothing to do with it. The kid quasi showed up. The mom and dad dragged him to the event, maybe with excitement. But really, the mom or the dad is the one that said, "Hey, here it is." And do we have that same heart set when it comes to when we do what God says and there's an increase, there's a fruit, there's a harvest that we see? Do we recognize that we want to be faithful, but it's truly God is the one that intervenes? I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and on. It says, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow." Did you catch that? "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." And Ken and Kathy, I want to say thank you for your 20 years of ministry. Thank you for the 15 beyond that and the stuff before. But the last 13 years, you guys have been faithful of pouring into this church, pouring into the awesome city of Wichita. And you've been faithful. But it's to God be the glory because there has been increase. I've seen God use Ken in so many different ways and Kathy in so many different ways in this church. And so it's key for us, important for us to remember that God is the one that gives the increase. But again, Ken and Kathy, thank you for your faithfulness to this church. We've got a word from you or for you from one of your sons, kind of the loud one. So actually it's not that loud on the video, but we have a word for you from Cody and his family.
Happy 20 years, Ken. We just wanted to congratulate you on 20 years and just share a few things that have stuck out to us just about your life, your character, and just who you are over these last 20 years.
Yeah, congrats on 20 years. We sure love you, and we're so grateful for your influence in your life. Your example for us has just been huge. And so one thing I think about your life when I think over the last 20 years of just getting a really close-up view of your life is just your perseverance and your determination to really follow God and His plan for your life, no matter what it costs you. And so I can think of so many different times, even just over the last 20 years, that things haven't gone amazingly, and maybe there's hard times outside the church, maybe even hard times in the church, that you've just been committed to God and where He's called you to, no matter how hard it has been and how hard it's become. And I can think of so many times from the outside perspective where I've looked in and just said, man, Dad, give up. Like, throw in the towel, like, move on, go do something else. But you're always committed to where God has you or had you. And honestly, it's been so cool just to even see how God's used you over these last 20 years because of that commitment to God. And so thanks for being committed. Thanks for even your 20 years of loving Wichita and Wes. And we're so excited to see how God continues to use your life. We sure love you. You want to blow him a kiss?
Can you say bye-bye?
You say bye-bye? You blowing kisses too?
Do it. Good job.
Yeah. That'll work. Love you, Dad.
I don't know about you, but I didn't hear a word that Cody said. I was just watching the kids the whole time. Weren't they cute? What a testimony as we're looking into this series on Multiply. We're looking at the biblical basis of disciple making, and what a great testimony, Ken and Kathy, that two of your sons are following in your footsteps and are in ministry. And what a great example that is, and what a great legacy that you're leaving and leading for your family. As we continue on with the story, we see that as we persevere, as we obey, because He says so, I will, as He does, as we follow Him, He does what only He can do. That God steps in and does things that only God can do. And so what I want us to do is look at the response. Let's look at the response of the disciples. If you'll look with me in verse 8 through 11. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore and left everything and followed him. So what were the response from Peter, James, and John? For Peter, it was he humbled himself at Jesus' feet and declared, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." He understood that what had happened with the catch of fish was nothing that he could do in his own power or his own strength or his own intellect or by his own skill. That what had happened was definitely a miracle from God. And God was doing what only he can do. And his appropriate and only response that he had was to bow and to humble himself before God. So they were humbled and astonished. Peter and James and John and his companions, it says that they were astonished at the catch of fish that they had received. You see, as we grow in our understanding of who Jesus is, we will grow in our awe and wonder of who he is. As we grow in our understanding of who Jesus is, it'll help us to grow in our understanding and awe and wonder of him as well. Every miracle that Jesus performed had a purpose. And as you look at some of the miracles of Jesus, it's really interesting to note that some of the purposes in his miracles were directly for the benefit of the disciples. And as the disciples saw the miracles that Jesus performed, it helped to increase their understanding and awe of who Jesus was. And then the more that they understood him, the more that they were in awe of him.
And as we look through some New Testament passages, we see this increasing capacity and understanding of who Jesus is. Let me give you a few examples. Remember Jesus' first miracle found in John chapter 2? Jesus was at a wedding, and remember that at the end of the wedding, they ran out of wine. Jesus turns water into wine. And in chapter 2, verse 11, this is what it says. When Jesus did hear in what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through what? Which he revealed his glory. And look at the disciples' response. The disciples believed in him. Remember a little bit later on, they're out on a boat, and Jesus was asleep, and there was a storm that came up. They looked at Jesus and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're about to die?" And what? Look what Jesus' response in Mark chapter 6. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other. This is the disciples' response. "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." They're starting to understand more and more who Jesus is. After the feeding of the 5,000 with five loaves and two fish, Jesus has miraculous feeding that we're about to partake of here in a few minutes, right? And after the feeding of the 5,000, he sends the disciples out on the boat. And in that night, remember, Jesus comes and walks on water. And Peter jumps out of the boat and tries to start meeting Jesus. And he's fearful. He starts to drown. Jesus picks him up. They get back into the boat. And in Matthew chapter 14, verse 32, it says, "And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat," look at the disciples' response. "They worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" See, just moment by moment, miracle by miracle, God was increasing their capacity to understand who he really was. It was after they got on the other side that Jesus started teaching the crowds. They came and found him. Because why? Because Jesus had provided food for them. And he goes on to this long discourse about, "I am the bread of life. Unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you'll have nothing to do with me." Well, at that moment, everybody cut out and started leaving. And Jesus looked around at his disciples and said, "What about you?" And he said, "Who do people say that I am?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But what do you say?" He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said this, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus was doing all of these things. And as he was doing these things, he was increasing their understanding so that they could worship him more fully. The more that they understood him, the greater that they can worship him. Let's look back at our text in Luke chapter 5, verse 5. Look at what Peter called Jesus. Whenever Jesus said to Peter, "Cast your nets out," he said, "Master, we've been at this all night." Look in verse 8. In verse 8, after the miraculous catch of fish, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at his knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord." So even in that instance, you see an increase of understanding of who Jesus is. So why does he do this? Why did he do these things for the disciples? Why were these miracles necessary part of his training for the disciples? Because he had a job for them to do. And he knew that his presence and power while he was with them would empower them to do what he was calling them to do and the mission that he had for them once he left. And then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people, or I will make you fishers of men." Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, "Come follow me, and I am going to make you great fishermen." I'm not going to make you great lawyers, doctors, engineers, politicians. You see, he didn't say those things, and he could have said those things. See, the demonstration of his power and his presence in the disciples' life, the demonstration of who he is, stepping into moments and doing what only he can do, wasn't ultimately just for their benefit, but it was for the benefit of others around them. See, God's design and desire is that he does a great work in and through us, and that extends beyond us to those who are around us. That's what it means that I will make you fishers of men or fish for people. How can we increase in our capacity to fish for people? How can we gain an appropriate understanding of what he is calling us to in fishing for people? The three things I want to leave you with this morning is this. One, worship is the fuel of our fishing. Worship is the fuel of our fishing. See, the closer that we are to Christ, the more that we understand who he is, the more that we'll worship him and want to serve him and follow him and be fishers of men. So worship is the fuel of the mission that God has called us to. The second is this, that we must pray diligently for those that God has placed in our lives. We must pray for those who don't know him and ask God to give us the understanding and to see the world and to see people the way that he sees them. So worship, pray, and focus. I know a lot of us have a list of people that we're praying for, but for a lot of us, it doesn't go beyond praying. So what I'm encouraging you to do as we learn what it means to fish for people is to focus on one. Who is God calling you to, and what are you going to do about it? How are you going to be purposeful and intentional in the people that God is placing on your heart to step into those moments and share the love of Christ? So to get closer to him, to worship him, to pray that God will give you an understanding and see the world as he sees it. And number three is to focus and be intentional and purposeful in the lives that he has placed around you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are in the work of saving people, that God, that you step into moments, that you call us to things that sometimes we don't even understand. And God, I pray that in our obedience, in our perseverance, that God, you step in and do what only you can do. And may you find us bowing at your feet, loving and praising you all the more for it. And God, as we see you at work, may it propel us forward to share your love with those that are around us. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen. As we move into a time of the service when we're going to take up the offering, I would like to, for Ken and Kathy, to say thank you, guys. And we also have some special people who want to say thank you for your years of ministry here. Another note I wanted to say is thank you, guys, for all of you that sent in videos. Ken will definitely get those, but because of time, we've put just a few of those together for you this morning.
Happy 20th anniversary!
Okay, you guys got to get a little more excited than that.
Hey, happy 2 decades, Mom and Dad. I'm so excited for you guys and for this weekend of celebrating and partying. Thanks for being the same people at home that you are at church and living lives of just pure integrity. Thanks also for never being satisfied with your relationship with Jesus and always looking for ways to grow deeper and closer to him. And then thanks also just for supporting our family during this crazy time. And hopefully by the time this weekend arrives, we haven't messed it up and you guys are there celebrating. So we love you and thank you for everything you've done. Yeah, say bye, Baba.
Bye, Baba.
Say love you, Grandma. Okay, love you guys. Bye.
Happy birthday, again.
Go.
Happy birthday,
Happy birthday, Ken.
There you go. Good job.
Thank you, Pastor Ken.
Thank you, Pastor Ken.
My name is
Jeannie Nisley, and at least once a month, Pastor Ken calls me to check on me after the sudden death of my grandson, who was 12 years old, and the loss of my husband 4 years ago after 50 years of marriage. When he calls, I always say, "Do you need something, or are you just checking on me?" And he always says, "I'm just checking on you." Thank you, Pastor Ken. I love you.
Thank you, Pastor Ken.
Thanks for moving to Wichita so I could meet the love of my life.
Okay. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Go.
Happy anniversary, Pastor Ken.
Hey, good morning, Ken. This is Austin. I just want to say congratulations on 20 years at West. Hey, man, I really wanted to thank you for the investment you made in our family. I know you've invested in Wichita. You've invested in West and Free. You've invested in church planting. You've literally changed our lives. I will always be grateful for you. Hope you have a great celebration today. And thank you so much. We love you.
Thank you, Pastor Ken.
Happy 20th anniversary,
I guess. Congratulations! You've
worked here for 20 years.
Finishing each other's sentences.
Go.
Happy 20th anniversary.
What?
You guys got it.
What are we saying?
Happy 20th anniversary, Pastor Ken.
I guess. Okay.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Happy 20th anniversary, Pastor Ken.
On the count of three. One.
Look right here.
Look right here.
Look right
one.
Here.
One. Two. Three.
Cheese.
Say thank you.
Say thank you, Pastor Ken.
Say thank you, Pastor Ken.
Pastor Ken.
I love you.
Go.
Happy 20th anniversary, Pastor Ken and Kathy. Thank you for being such a great pastor. Thanks for being there for me.
Happy 20th anniversary. Thank you, Pastor Ken.
I'm Joe Dewey. I serve on the Elder Board here at West, and we just want to recognize and appreciate Ken and Kathy today. So I'll call Ken and Kathy up on stage. Just on a personal note, I get to work with the TNT boys. Come on up here. And what you saw is a pretty regular Wednesday night, so it's a lot of activity, a lot of power there. Ken and Kathy, we certainly, on behalf of the church, we certainly appreciate all you guys have done to invest in the church. Kathy, we know the pastoral ministry is one of a partnership, and without your strong support for Ken, he would be restricted on what he's being able to do to serve well. And it's been mentioned multiple times that God does the work, that he provides the fish. But with that said, he does ask us to step up and be involved. You guys have done a great job at leading, in modeling, serving God well. We appreciate all you've done, and congratulations on the 20 years. When I think about what we stand for as a church, we talk about passionately pursuing. Can you stand up here and you give us great examples and tell us what we ought to do? I've had the opportunity to know Ken for 14 years now and can tell you that those that know him well know that he not only talks about it up front, but he's engaged in it actively. We look at intentionally building. You invest in the overall body from up here, and then in smaller groups you do as well. I've had the opportunity to serve with Ken and be under him as far as development with a number of individuals. I know there's a lot of folks in this church that have been able to be in smaller groups with Ken and be invested in. Also accountability partner with Ken. So as iron sharpens iron, I have the privilege to individually work with Ken. So thank you for all you've done for this church. May God continue to bless you and your ministry. And with that, I'm going to ask the pastors and elders to come up so that we can pray for Ken and Kathy. Got Brandon, Fisher, and Patrick that are going to pray. Thanks.
Heavenly Father, you're a good Father, and we know you love your church and you love West. And one of the ways you have showed that is by providing the Coopers. I'm here for 20 years, and we just thank you for that. Thank you for gifting, for using Ken, for being his rock and in times of blessing, but especially in times of difficulty and trials. And you are faithful, and thank you for Ken and Kathy's faithfulness to you and to your calling here. And I just pray you just continue to bless them, their family, and their marriage. Protect that, Lord. And we're just excited to see what you have in store for us here at West and many years with the Coopers.
God, today is an exciting day where we get to remember and celebrate 20 years you've blessed this church with Kathy and Ken. God, we thank you for the example that they provide to us on how to rely on you. God, thank you that when we look at them, we are not praising them, but they're like a mirror, and when we look at them, we see you. God, thank you for just continued blessings. Thank you, God, for the way that you have used them to mentor so many people. God, thank you for the way that you've woven all of our lives together here at West, and that our lives have intersected the Coopers' lives, and just for the blessing that that has been as a church and individually in so many ways. God, we are so thankful to you, and we just pray that you would be the rock on which they stand. God, that the Holy Spirit would continue to enable them to minister at West, to serve here. God, I also thank you for the way that they serve at the head of the pack and not from behind, but they are leading from the tip of the spear. God, we just pray for your protection on them. We pray for your Holy Spirit to enable them for ministry. In Christ's name, amen.
And to think I get to work with these guys all the time. The first thing I want to say today is one of the things we've heard is the work of God and the involvement of God in people's lives. And if you're here today and you've never experienced that, you've never seen God at work in your heart, you don't even know what we're talking about, I would beg of you to stay and talk with anybody you've seen on the stage today. And say, tell me more. I want to know about this God, and let us begin that journey with you. I want to say thank you to you for the gift and blessing of 20 years. Kathy and I have loved being here, and we know that wouldn't happen without you. You're the church, and you're the ones that have supported us. You're the ones that have been there and worked so diligently for a cause that's bigger than any of us. I want to say thank you to elders and pastors. My goodness, what incredible spiritual leaders we have here and how well they have led, and pray for them and thank them often. I want to say thank you to my wife and my kids. My kids were also instrumental in all of this, every one of them. And Kathy is an amazing pastor's wife for me and just a great rock. But most of all, I want to say thank you to God. Because it doesn't happen without him. We can cast nets, but only he puts fish in it. And I just want to say thank you to him. And I hope you feel the same way about fishing for people in your career. But for me, I would say nobody deserves the privilege of being a pastor. That's just an incredible, incredible privilege God has allowed me to have. And nobody deserves the privilege of being a pastor at this church. You guys have been phenomenal. Yesterday at the football game, I was talking to Adam's parents, and I said, you know, one of the things Kathy and I talked about when we left Nebraska to come here was we had a great church in Nebraska. And we said, is there any way that God would let someone have two really, really good churches? And he did. And that is his gift. That's undeserved gift. To have a congregation who says, it's not just about me and what I like and me being happy, but it's about the mission God has given us of developing fully devoted followers of Christ. It's about a calling of planting churches that plant churches to reach a city for Christ. And people who say, I'll give up my own personal comforts for that. That's rare and that's unusual. And God put that in you. And I am deeply, deeply grateful. So today, let's be in awe of him. Let's worship him. Let's celebrate him. We're going to close in prayer in just a second. After the prayer, we're going to head back and eat some food together. The instructions I have is that we need to go down this hallway right out here and then take a right so that we're going to the tables this way. We need to all be going this way as we get to the tables. Get some food. Let's enjoy some time together there. Drinks will be inside the gym. But let's stand. We never do this, but let's join hands across the hall, across the aisle, as one group, and let's pray together. Gracious Father, thanks for the privilege of being a church family and for your blessing on us the whole time of this church, but for Kathy and me being here the last 20 years. Thank you for every single person here and that you're the one that does the work. We can cast the nets, but you're the only one that brings the fish, and we thank you for that. Thanks for what you have in store for the future. I am incredibly excited as we start new Threads journals and study Philippians as we continue to have more mid-sized groups and then more D groups that we'll talk about next week and just all you have for us. It's an incredible privilege to be part of this. Thank you. And thanks for the food we're going to eat, for each one that worked hard to prepare that. And may our fellowship there be honoring to you. May you be the focus and the star and the one that we adore. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sometimes it feels like I'm watching from the outside. Sometimes it feels like I'm breathing, but am I alive? I won't keep searching for answers that aren't here to find.